last week, what to do when we sin. And each time we're looking at the biblical and the non-biblical responses. What to do, what not to do. And so last week, remember, I'll go ahead and go back a little bit. Wrong direction. Last week we looked at what to do when we sin. Of course, the non-biblical responses are to either hide and run or to blame shift. And where that leads, the biblical responses are to confess and forsake and find restoration with God. And so this week, continuing, we did sin and tempted. This week, we're going to look at what to do when you're hurt or offended. And sadly, it does happen, even to Christians, where someone will hurt us or offend us. What do we do? And so today we're going to look at the non-biblical and biblical responses to what to do when we are hurt or offended. I don't know if we'll get through it all today. We'll try because there's a heap of scriptures to look through. But when we are hurt or offended, what do we do? Well, let's start with the non-biblical responses. So number one, treat unlovingly. I don't know if you can see that from the back row. But in other words, to mistreat or not treat in a biblical way. We're told to love one another no matter what, right? And so I put in here, for example, ignore, avoid, abuse, kind of the three things that Christians tend to do when they're angry with another Christian, when they refuse to forgive or whatever, is they either ignore them or they try to avoid them or they even mistreat them in some particular way. So we'll start there. Treat unlovingly. And so we'll look at Titus 3:3, Mr. Scott, and then we'll pray and understand this from the scriptures.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
So here he's talking about what we used to be before we were Christians. And one of the things he mentions there is hateful. There is no place in Scripture for a Christian to ever be hateful. It's just sin. And you'll keep seeing that word sin as we go through the study. If the top corner is red, that's a down, thumbs down, okay? And the first thing that we tend to do when someone wrongs us or hurts us or offends us is to, what? Evil for evil, right? They hurt us, we're going to hurt them. We've been doing that since we were children, haven't we? He hit me first. That's why I hit him back. And the problem is that once you're a Christian, that's not acceptable anymore. That is sin. So let's pray and we'll dive in together. Lord, thank you so much for your precious word, the opportunity to study it together this morning. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts and teach us today in this matter of offenses and hurts. Lord, that we would strive to be like our Savior. And thank you that you've given us so much direction in your word. And may we learn from it today and apply it to our own lives. We love you and commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there's some other things on here. Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. That's a biblical principle for Christians, is we are never, ever to retaliate in any way. We're to leave it to God. Amen. If you go two verses beyond that, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Leave it to God. But we're not to render evil for evil. We're not to be hateful. God says, of course, people talk about Matthew 18 all the time, which we'll be talking about. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not. In other words, we must forgive. We cannot hold on to unforgiveness. It turns into bitterness. But treating unlovely is unscriptural. Mark 11:26. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And then, Howard, if you could read 1 Peter 2:1 for us.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings.
So notice, evil speakings, that is sin. We're to lay it aside. As Christians, it's never okay for us to get involved in evil speakings. So the number one wrong choice to make when someone wrongs us or hurts or offends us is to retaliate in any way, shape, or form. There's just no scriptural precedent for it. Jesus, of course, was our example. Was Jesus mistreated? Amen? In many, many ways. Did he ever defend himself? No. And God says we aren't to either. What does Jesus even tell us in the Beatitudes? If someone strikes you on the cheek, it says strike them back, right? Is that what it says?
Turn the other cheek.
Exactly. Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome.
It says, doesn't say strike them back. But that's what our flesh wants to do, right? Is to retaliate. Evil for evil. Not in a Christian's vocabulary. So the first wrong choice is to treat unlovingly in any way, shape, or form. There's never an excuse. There's never a reason to behave that way. Any questions about that? All right. The second wrong choice, which we usually take, is to tell someone else. So if someone wrongs or hurts us or offends us, which we'll see later in Matthew 18, Jesus emphasizes that word alone. Amen? We're to go to that person and try to work it out. Or forgive, as we'll see. But to tell someone else is sin. Gossip is still sin. Now, I know we all like to participate in it because it's just part of our being a sinner, but it's still sin. And God makes it very clear that we are to not tell anyone else. We're to work it out. So let's look at a heap of scriptures on this. Make sure we understand that this is a scriptural truth. We'll start at James 5:20. Brent, if you would read that for us.
Let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
This passage is not talking about the unsaved. If you read the context of James 5, it's talking about praying one for another and so forth. The context is Christians. So notice he says, hide a multitude of sins, which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, which we're going to talk about the restoration part. Let's look at some more. Proverbs 11:13, Roy. See that word concealeth? It's scripture. To conceal it is scripture to keep it to yourself and go to the person alone if that's what you need to do. Let's look at another one, Proverbs 10:18. Philip, could you read that for us?
He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool.
A slander is always sin, and a slander is anything that is negative upon someone else's character or name. And then Proverbs 17:9, Mr. Woods, could you read that?
He that covereth the transgression is sin, but he that repenteth from the secret.
So God says the loving thing to do is what? Cover it. Keep it to yourself. The unloving thing to do is what? Repeat it. Amen? To tell someone else. James 4:11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. You see, the problem is, if we go and tell someone else, now we're entering the devil's realm. Because he is called, Revelation 12:10, the accuser of the brethren. Now we are an accuser of the brethren too. So now we've entered into his realm. Well, obviously that's not God's will for Christians, is it, to be the accuser of the brethren? That's God's going to work that out. It's not our place to retaliate, and it's definitely not our place to spread the slander or whatever it is and enter into his realm. Now, in John chapter 8, let's turn there. We have a beautiful example of the Pharisees trying this. And we also find a beautiful example of what Jesus expects and his response. So notice John 8. 3 to 11. Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us?
And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken of adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempted him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Where are those thine, what's the word? Accusers. Jesus even used the word, and the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Now, I understand their motives. Their motives were to trap Jesus. Their motives were to have an accusation against Jesus. Because if he had said, yes, go ahead and stone her, because the law of Moses says it's okay to stone her, then they would have turned it right around and said, look, Jesus had us kill this woman. But he didn't even address the law of Moses, did he? He didn't even talk about it. All he did was say, fine. Whoever's without sin, let them cast the first stone. If you want to stone this woman, stone her. But only those that are without sin. And now, did Jesus tell us a parable about a mote and a beam? We all know that parable quite well, right? And it shows us God has a sense of humor. Can you fit a beam into your eye? Does it fit, Brad? You just can't get it there, can you? And a mote is like a splinter. And in the parable, what does he say? He says, quit focusing on the splinter in your brother's eye. Focus on the beam in your own. Right? In other words, don't worry about the sins of others. Focus on your own heart. But when we tell someone else, we've now increased the problem. Not only have we sinned by gossiping, but now, as we're going to see, now someone else might be offended because of you spreading your offense rather than dealing with it biblically. And of course, Titus 3:2, just look at that first phrase. Speak evil of no man. God never gives us permission to speak evil of another person, not even an unsaved person, let alone a brother or sister in Christ. So notice what I said at the top there in bright yellow letters. If you choose, if you're offended, to tell someone else, you have now broken Matthew 18. Now, Matthew 18 is a process, right? It's a three-step thing. We're all very familiar with it. It's only a small portion of Matthew 18, by the way. The biggest portion is the parable about unforgiveness. But the first step is alone. And so if you now go and tell someone else about your hurt or offense, you've broken Matthew 18. Because you can't even do step one, because it won't be alone. Other people know about it. So that's done. You can't go through that process now. So this is big, because it's what our flesh wants to do, is tell someone else. The problem is, if we tell someone else, the sin chain continues. Look at what happens. Did you know that it's not only a sin to gossip, but it's a sin to listen to gossip? Now, a lot of people don't see it this way, but let's see what the scriptures say. Proverbs 17:4, Kelvin, if you could read that for us.
A wicked doer giveth heed to booklets, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue.
God says we're not to give heed to false lips, and we're not to give ear to a naughty tongue. In other words, not even to listen. But it takes a lot of Christian maturity when someone tries to gossip to say, why don't you stop right there? I really don't want to hear it. That takes some Christian maturity, doesn't it? Rather than to hear it. And then 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now we're involved in someone else's matter when it wasn't ours. And so what's happened. If that person listens to the gossip, the chances are now they have also taken on the offense or a part of the offense. Now it's multiplied. Now it's worse than it was in the beginning when it was just two people. Now there's more involved. And the problem is, if that person gets offended or hurt or whatever, or takes it on and then begins to make decisions about how to treat the other person based on the gossip that they've heard, it's a mess. So let's look at it. Proverbs 26:17. Brad, could you read that for us?
He that passeth by meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears.
Now, would anyone take a dog by the ears? That'd be the dumbest thing you could ever do, wouldn't it? Because he's just going to bite you in the face. And then Galatians 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And you know, Christians love to try to rate sin, which God never does. But if you do want to, then I would say the ones that need to go to the top are the things that God hates. Amen? There's only so many sins in the Bible that the Bible says God hates them. And one of those things in Proverbs 16 is he that soweth discord among brethren. But now you've participated in that. Now you are sowing discord because you have taken on someone else's offense and it's now multiplied. What a mess. All because we didn't obey Jesus' command to go to them alone. Anyway, before we move on, any questions about wrong decision number two, which is to tell someone else? It's just not scriptural. It's always a sin to tell someone else. And where that can lead. It doesn't always lead to them taking on the offense, but if it does, you just multiplied it. Notice I put down here, or I put it on the main chart. I only told two people. Well, we all know where that goes, don't we? Exponential. Anyway, any thoughts or questions about wrong decision number two? So number one, treat unlovingly. Number two, tell someone else. Those are the two wrong choices to make when someone hurts or offends you. By the way, all these scriptural warnings about saying anything negative about a brother or sister in Christ, we need to take that to heart for our own tongue, don't we? We need to be careful. And you know, I'll give you some free advice. If you have Christian friends that all they want to do is trash talk other Christians, maybe you need to get some new friends. Because the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. We should be sharpening one another, not tearing others down. And, you know, they say the great minds talk about God and ideas and goals. Mediocre minds talk about things and events, and weak minds talk about people. Anyway, some free advice. So any thoughts or questions? Yes, sir.
So you say not to tell anybody else about it. And so does that include your significant other? Considering we have one flesh, is that included in that?
That, I would say, is up to you, between you and God. We are one flesh as a couple, and sometimes we might need the counsel of our one flesh. But, yeah, I would say that's a hard one because we are one flesh. But at the same time, Jesus does say to keep it contained. So I would say it's up to the couple because we are one flesh. There's no question about it. Any other questions, comments, whatever? So that's all the negative. Let's talk about the positive. Amen. So we have three biblical choices to make when we're hurt or offended. I'll go back to the main chart. Wrong choices. Treat unlovingly in any possible way. Ignore, avoid, abuse. Number two, tell someone else. Sin. Notice all these red sins. Biblical choices. Number one, amazing, forgive. Anybody ever heard that word before? It's kind of the heart of Christianity, amen? So back to some of these verses we looked at earlier, Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of the faithful spirit concealeth the matter. We looked at Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. When we forgive, we're saying, Lord, I give this to you. Yes, someone's hurt me, someone's offended me, I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to let you take care of it. If that be the case, done. We're done, right? There's nothing else to do. We've forgiven. We've given it to God. It's done. And how many scriptures do we have to look at to make it very clear? When you stand praying, Mark 11:25, forgive if you have aught against any. Before you pray, stop. If someone's hurt you, forgive them. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And how about 1 Corinthians 6:7b? Mr. Scott, could you read that for us? Just the second half of 1 Corinthians 6:7.
Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
We don't like verses like that as Christians, do we? Why not just suffer the wrong? Why not just suffer yourselves to be defrauded? In other words, give it to God. Now, that's not what the flesh wants to do, but this is what God wants us to do. So that's choice number one. We can just say, it's done. Yes, they hurt me. Lord, I'll leave that with you. I forgive them. It's done. There's nothing else to do. If we aren't going to take that route, there's still two other biblical routes we can take. One is to implement Matthew 18 because we believe this could help that person. But the key to the whole Matthew 18, verse 15, that's Howard, if you could read it for us.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, Thou hast gained thy brother.
That word alone is the key. Keep it contained. Amen. We've already seen what a sin it is to repeat, to multiply, to spread or whatever. It's not right. Brent, could you read Proverbs 25:9?
Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another.
You have a cause. What are you supposed to do? Debate with him himself. There it is again, alone. Don't take that secret and tell someone else. Don't discover it to another. And Luke says, if your brother comes and says, I'm sorry, what do? You always forgive. So, number one, you can go to the person. Start step one of Matthew 18 because you believe it could help the person. And say, listen, you hurt me, you offended me. You know, God's will is always restoration. And I find that when people ask me what they should do in these situations, that's easy for me because I always just tell them the same thing. I've been doing that for 30 years, and that's go to them alone. Talk it through. And you know what I find is when Christians follow God's plan, 99% of the time, it gets resolved. The person apologizes, they make up, it's done. It's just that we don't do this. We do the other first, and then it's too late. We can't come back. But if you do this, 99% of the time, it's resolved. Now, there's a third choice, and that is when you do talk to them, you're not just going to them to try to let them know what they've done to you, but you're also, you care about them. And notice what it says. Let's read Galatians 6:1-2. I forget whose turn it is. Philip, could you read that for us?
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he which is virtuous, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Be one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
So one of the keys in this verse is this word spiritual. We need to make sure our hearts are right. If we're going to go to a brother that's been overtaken in a fault, make sure our hearts are where they need to be. Amen. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And then we already read James 5:20. He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. If you look at the context again, that's written to Christians. So there are our three biblical choices and our three non-biblical choices. And I think that's it. So any questions about these three biblical choices? Forgive, talk to them alone, or try to restore in meekness. What to do when? All right, so next time we're going to talk about convicted, what to do when we're convicted, and then we'll move from there on to what to do when we suffer and carry on with these flowcharts. Thoughts or questions before we close in prayer?